The gunman is useless. I know it, he knows it, the whole bank knows it. Even my best mate Marvin knows it, and he's more useless than the gunman. The worst part about the whole thing is that Marv's car is standing outside in a 15-minute parking zone. We're all face down on the floor, and the car's only got a few minutes left on it.
I wish this bloke could hurry up,
I mention.
I know, Marv whispers back. This is outrageous.
His voice rises from the depths of the floor.
I'll be getting a fine because of this useless bastard. I can't afford another fine, Ed.
The car's not even worth it.
What?
Marv looks over at me now. I can sense he's getting uptight, offended. If there's one thing Marv doesn't tolerate, it's someone putting shit on his car. He repeats the question.
What did you say, Ed?
I said, I whisper.
It isn't even worth the fine, Marv. Look, he says. I'll take a lot of things, Ed, but...
I tune out of what he's saying because, quite frankly, once Marv gets going about his car, it's downright pain in the arse material. He goes on and on, like a kid. He's just turned 20, for Jesus' sake. He goes on for another minute or so, until I have to cut him off.
Marv, I point out, the car's an embarrassment, okay? It doesn't even have a handbrake. It's sitting out there with two bricks behind the back wheels.
I'm trying to keep my voice as quiet as possible.
Half the time you don't even bother locking it. You're probably hoping someone will flog it so you can collect the insurance. It isn't insured.
Exactly.
The insurance company said it wasn't worth it.
It's understandable. That's when the gunman turns around and shouts, "Who's talking back there?" Marv doesn't care. He's worked up about the car.
You don't complain when I give you a lift to work, Ed, you miserable upstart.
Upstart? What the hell's an upstart?
I said shut up back there!
The gunman shouts again.
Hurry up then!
Marv roars back at him. He's in no mood now. No mood at all. He's face down on the floor of the bank. The bank's being robbed. It's abnormally hot for spring. The air conditioning's broken down. His car's just been insulted. Old Marv's at the end of his tether. Or his wit's end. Whatever you want to call it. He's got the shit something terrible. We remain flattened on the worn-out, dusty blue carpet of the bank, and Marv and I are looking at each other with eyes that argue. Our mate Richie's over at the Lego table, half under it, lying among all the pieces that scattered when the gunman came in yelling, screaming, and shaking. Audrey's just behind me. Her foot's on my leg, making it go numb. The gunman's gun is pointed at the nose of some poor girl behind the counter. Her name tag says Misha. Poor Misha. She's shivering nearly as bad as the gunman as she waits for some zitty 29-year-old fella with a tie and sweat patches under his arms to fill the bag with money.
I wish this bloke could hurry up,
Marv speaks. I said that already, I tell him.
So what? I can't make a comment of my own?
Get your foot off me, I tell Audrey.
What?
She responds. I said get your foot off me. My leg's going numb. She moves it, reluctantly. Thanks. The gunman turns around and shouts his question for the last time.
Who's the bastard talking?
The thing to note with Marv is that he's problematic at the best of times. Argumentative. Less than amiable. He's the type of friend you find yourself constantly arguing with, especially when it comes to his shitbox Falcon. He's also a completely immature asshole when he's in the mood. He calls out in a jocular manner.
It's Ed Kennedy, sir. It's Ed who's talking.
Thanks a lot, I say. My full name's Ed Kennedy. I'm 19. I'm an underage cab driver. I'm typical of many of the young men you see in this suburban outpost of the city. Not a whole lot of prospects or possibility. That aside, I read more books than I should, and I'm decidedly crap at sex and doing my taxes. Nice to meet you.